All right, open your Bibles tonight to Genesis chapter 4, first book of the Old Testament, Genesis. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, look if you would, starting at verse 1. It says, and starting at verse 1, it says, "And Adam knew his wife," or knew Eve his wife, "and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstling of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Can you imagine God, talking to God like that? He says, I am not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? Thy voice, the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield any of her yield unto thee her fruit. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from my face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, the vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod in the east of Eden. Let's pray. Again, Father, we're here tonight, Lord, to hear from you and see what you have for us. And Lord, I'm thankful for these folks that came out tonight to hear the word of God. And I'm thankful this morning, Lord, of the great blessings that we saw in this church, Lord. People returning and being able to see Sister Helen, Brother Phil again. And Lord, all those kids coming in. And Lord, what a blessing it is. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we pray that you'll continue to bless this church, Lord. And just give us a desire, Lord, just to help people out and to tell people about Jesus Christ and to live lives like you'd have us live. But Lord, tonight, just for a few moments, Lord, I pray that you'll just, speak to each one of the hearts of the people here tonight. Help us to take a good hard look at ourselves, Lord, and see if there's anything in our hearts that need to be taken care of, and see, Lord, if we're worshiping you the right way. Father, we thank you for all that you do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it would be impossible to know how many murders have been committed throughout history. But according to the FBI and the U.S. alone, there were just over 16,000 murders in 2020, up almost 30%, actually, believe it or not. And that's approximately 44 murders per day just in the United States alone. Okay, now that doesn't say how they were murdered. It was just 44 murders per day. But you know, history's first murder is recorded in Genesis here, and the victim was Abel. And it was his own brother Cain who murdered him. Now, if you think about it, the first person born in the world eventually became the world's first murderer. You know, that really doesn't say a whole lot about man, does it? I mean, that just shows you how wicked man is. And many of us since childhood are very familiar with the story of Cain and Abel. And Cain is a source of many beginnings in the Bible. For example, he is the first older brother. He is the first one to be born. He is the first one to build a city. He's also the first man to murder another. Now, there is an expression in the New Testament that's very descriptive of Cain. It's found in 1 John 3:12, where it says, Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. John tells us there that Cain was of that wicked one. The actions and deeds of Cain revealed that he was of the devil, the same way that lost people today are of that wicked one. Before we were saved, the Bible says that we were children of wrath and we were children of disobedience. And when Jesus looked at those lost Pharisees, he said to them, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." And so before you were saved, you were in a different family. Before you were saved, you were in the devil's family. But since you've been saved, the devil is you're no longer of that wicked one. The devil is no longer your father. Since you've been saved, God is your father. And so really what happened is you changed families the moment you got saved. If you're not saved, your father is the devil. But if you are saved, your father is God. And the Bible says that Cain was of that wicked one. Now in Genesis chapter 4, it actually begins with the birth of Cain. Back in verse 1, if you look at it, it says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." And then we're told that Cain's birth is immediately followed by the birth of his brother Abel. It says in verse 2, "And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was the keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." Now, it's been suggested that since there's only one conception here described, but two births, that Cain and Abel could possibly be twins. And that is a possibility. The Bible never says they're twins, but it is a possibility. But then again, there's also other scriptures that have the similar wording where children were of different ages. So you just got to keep that in mind. Just because it says she conceived once and had two children does not make it absolutely for sure that they were twins. Could have been. But twins or not, they were brothers and they were different. You know, that's one thing I've noticed, that children are different even though they're brothers. Amen? I mean, and I know that all of my kids are totally different. I mean, you would never think that they ever came from the same family. Okay? They're just different. And certainly Cain and Abel were different. The Bible describes Abel as a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. Abel became a shepherd, and Cain became a farmer. And over time, each boy developed his own interest and chose his own course of life. But in time, their difference would be magnified, especially their spiritual differences. The Bible says in Genesis 4:3, it says, "And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof." Now I want you to notice here the offering that was delivered. Both brothers brought an offering. And being a farmer, Cain's offering was of the fruit of the ground. As a shepherd, Abel's offering was the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. But the Bible tells us that the sacrifice of one of these brothers was not accepted by God. So not only were these brothers different in the offerings that they presented, but the Lord's response was different to each one of these brothers who made the offering. Notice in verses 4 and 5, it says this. It says, "And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." Now, there are some reasons that God did not approve of the offering that Cain brought. First of all, it was an offering from the cursed ground. You read back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake." So the ground is cursed. And Cain, he grows things from the cursed ground and then offers that to God as a sacrifice. So that's one reason why God rejected that sacrifice. Another reason that God did not accept the offering that Cain brought is because it was not a blood sacrifice. No doubt, Adam and Eve had taught their sons about how God had killed that animal to give them the skins of that animal to wear, you know, where they were hiding back there in the bushes in the cool of the day after they had eaten of the tree of life. God had to kill an animal to give them that skin. And no doubt they had told Cain and Abel the story of that, teaching them with that without the shedding of blood is no remission. So because it was not a blood sacrifice, and because it was a sacrifice of things that was cursed from a cursed ground, God did not accept Cain's sacrifice. But there's a third reason, I believe, that Cain's sacrifice was not accepted by God, and that's because Cain was not right with God when he offered it. He was not right with God when he offered it. Notice verse 4 again. It says, "The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. You'll notice there that Lord had respect unto Abel, and he also had respect unto his offering. It was not just the kind of offering that Abel brought that the Lord looked upon with approval, but even more, he was pleased with Abel himself. Now notice that it says in verse 5, though, it says, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. The reason God did not approve of Cain's offering was because he did not approve of Cain in his heart. His heart wasn't right with God. Now, you can't miss that, folks, because if you think that his heart was right with God, look how Cain reacts. Look at the things that Cain does. Look at how he talks to God. There is no way that you could sit there and say, you know, I think Cain's heart was right with God the entire time. It was not. It was not. And so, you know, it's been said that the heart of the problem is a problem of the heart. And Cain's heart was not right with God. You know, Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. Well, that's talking about Abel. It never says that Cain was righteous. It never says that Cain was right with the Lord. Abel's offering was an expression of the faith that he had in God. Abel's offering was a more excellent sacrifice than Cain's. Cain and his offering was acknowledging that there was a God in heaven, but Abel's offering was acknowledging that he needed to have a relationship with God, and he wanted to please God. That is the difference between the two. Now, as we read on into this account, we see the mercy that God offered Cain. You know, it's not, listen, here Cain is, he's got attitude, he messed up. And we all mess up. And you're going to notice here that God still extends him mercy. If you look at verse 5, it says, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? God was not asking for information here. He already knew the cause of Cain's anger and his fallen countenance. He already knew it. When God asks men questions, folks, it's never for information. It's to try to get them to reveal what's on their heart, to get them to admit something. God already knows everything. Do you realize that God does not have to ever ask a question? Now you think about that. He already knows everything. So when he asks men a question, it's not for God's benefit, it's for the man's benefit. He wants him to ask. And so he wants him to answer. And so the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? You know, it's kind of like, I remember growing up one time and my dad had told me to do something and I didn't want to do it. And I remember I kind of got real quiet on him and I wouldn't talk to him. And after a while he walked up to me and goes, you mad? Now he already knew I was. And he go, what you mad about? And he was trying to get me to tell him. He already knew what it was. And of course I went the way of Cain. I didn't say anything. Amen. But that, and that, by the way, that's not a way to handle it. But what I'm saying is that God already knew the answer. And he wanted Cain to say, Lord, he's saying, Cain, I want you to tell me why you're mad. Cain, tell me why your countenance is fallen. Tell me, what reason do you really have for this to go on? And so he asked the question. Now notice how God extends his mercy to Cain. Look at verse 7. He says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? God was saying to Cain that whenever one does that which is right in the sight of the Lord, they would be accepted. However, one does not do right, then there's a provision for that as well. Verse 7 continues to say, it says, if thou doest well, thou shalt be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So he says, you have an opportunity here to do right. You have an opportunity to do here to do that which is righteous. But you have a choice. You can do one or the other. If you do this, you'll be accepted. If you don't do this, sin lieth at the door. And so here he's really, if you think about it, here's Cain. He's upset. And the Lord is providing him a way of escape when it comes to the temptation. He's providing him a way out. You know, God offers us a way out too. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That's what he says to us. And that's what he's doing to Cain here. He's giving him a way out. He says, why are you upset? Why is your countenance falling? Don't you know if you do right, you'll be accepted? And if you don't do right, sin lieth at the door. Here's your opportunity. Do right. He didn't. How did Cain react to God's grace? He rejected it. Genesis chapter 4, look at verse 8. It says, and Cain talked with Abel his brother. It came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Cain rebelled against the grace that God had offered him, and he killed Abel as an act of anger and rebellion toward God. He not only rejected God's grace, but he also rejected God who provided that grace. And the murder of his brother was more than just an explosion of anger. Sometimes people read this passage and say, well, you know, he just lost his mind for a minute and killed Abel. No, I believe it was premeditated. I believe that not he was upset that God did not accept his sacrifice. And so he just decided he's just going to kill the one who God did accept. And so it was a manifestation of the heart of rebellion. It was rebellion in the face of God's grace. Now, I'm just going to tell you that, and of course, I know that all of you already know this, but, you know, the world which we live in is constantly criticizing Christians. And it seems that in our day that there is kind of an open market on bashing Christianity. However, all their attacks are really just a manifestation that they have when it comes to them rebelling against God. An atheist today, the reason a person says he's an atheist today is he's rebelling against God. He's in his mind, he's saying, if in my mind I don't believe that there's a God, then poof, there just won't be a God anymore. That's the way his thinking is. Well, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter whether a person believes that there is a God or doesn't believe there is a God. There is a God. You do realize that when you start reading it here at the first of Genesis, at the very first of your Bible, do you realize that when it all begins, the Bible never ever tries to talk you into the fact that there's a God. Never. It never tries to tell you that God exists. It never gives you any proofs that God exists. Here's what it says. It says, in the beginning, God. And then it tells what God did. What they're doing, the writer of this book, this assumes, listen, he's saying that God exists, and for you to even think that he doesn't exist, it's ridiculous. In the beginning, God. God doesn't even take, he doesn't spend any of his time trying to prove his existence. By the way, he doesn't try to prove his existence anywhere in the Word of God. And you want me to tell you how his existence is proved? What he's already put within you, and according to the heavens, the Bible says. He don't try to talk anybody into it. And so when a person today says, I don't believe there's a God, he's in rebellion against God. When a person today refuses to get saved, he's in rebellion against God. God has offered grace to every single person. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the sins of all men. And for a person today to say, I am not going to get saved, I'm going to do it my way, I'm going to do it by works or however, or I just don't believe there's a God anymore, or I never did believe there's a God. When a person rejects Jesus Christ and rejects that gospel, that person is in rebellion against God. Because God said this, I have sent my son Jesus Christ to die for you, and I don't want any to perish, I'm not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance, and I want everybody to be saved. And when a person thumbs his nose to God, when that happens, he's in rebellion. He's in rebellion. That's the way this world is. And they fight Christianity because Christians represent what God says and who God is. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, he said, ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. This world hates Christianity because they hate Jesus. This world hates Jesus because it loves darkness more than it loves light. This world hates Jesus because their evil deeds are manifest by his glorious light. And so, therefore they rebel against God. And that's the reason why Cain killed Abel. It's because he chose to rebel against God. Now turn and we went over to the book of Jude. Go all the way to the other end of your Bible. Almost all the way to the other end of your Bible. To the book of Jude. Book of Jude. The book of Jude. And look, if you would, starting at verse 10. Jude, verse 10. It says, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Now you have to admit, when it comes to Cain, Balaam, and Kor, those are not good examples in the Bible, amen? We don't want to ever be associated with any of those people or in the ways of any of those people. He says, verse 12, these are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, Clouds they are without water, carried about with winds, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved a blackness and darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are murderers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Here, when it's talking about Cain, and it's talking about Balaam, and it's talking about Kor, in the context here, he's saying these are lost people, and Enoch talked about how the Lord is going to come back from heaven to execute his wrath on these lost people. And that's the context of it is. And so when we look at the way of Cain, certainly there is no doubt about it. According to the book of Jude, you associate the way of Cain with a lost person. In other words, it's how a lost person, notice it says a wanderer. That's what Cain was. He ended up being a wanderer. Talking about how he's plucked up by the roots and without fear. Certainly Cain was not, he did not fear the Lord. And so we see Cain in there, but you also see Kor and you also see Balaam. And again, that in the context, that's talking about unsaved people. Now, I think we all understand here tonight that if Cain, he offered something that was without blood for the sacrifice. That's what he offered to God. And it has to be blood for the sacrifice for sins to be forgiven. Amen? How do we know that? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to wash away our sins. And so when you see a person who's gone the way of Cain, technically he's a lost person who believes more in works than the blood. That is, if you want to know strictly what the way of Cain is, according to the context of Jude, that's what it is. But tonight I want to give you just a little bit of a different perspective. And I want to show you that it is possible for Christians in some ways, to go the way of Cain. Now, not that Christians can lose their salvation, and not that Christians are murderers or complainers or, that God's going to execute judgment on Christians. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying that there are certain ways that Cain thought and that Cain acted, and there were certain ways that Cain was that many Christians today kind of share the same thing. And so tonight I want to show you just a few of those things. And so when it comes to believers, there's one way that we can go the way of Cain is the way of Cain can be attempting to serve God when your heart is not right. The way of Cain that Christians can go is attempting to serve God when your heart is not right. Now, Cain, you have to admit, was religious. I mean, he brought an offering to God. He was going through all the religious motions and activities, but the entire time his heart was not right with God. And I may remind you tonight that God is interested in your heart. He would rather you do nothing and have a good heart than you be busy all the time and your heart not be right with God. He has always been interested in the hearts of men. That's the reason over there in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, it talks about, when Samuel was bringing all those Jesse's sons through, and he was looking at this son, and boy, he's a tall one. Boy, he'll make a great king. Look at that guy. Boy, he's good looking. He'll make a great king. And then all of a sudden they bring in this young man, this ruddy person. They bring him in, and nobody's thinking much of him, but God says, listen, man sees on the outside, but God sees the heart. God's interested in your heart. Now listen, we need to serve God. We need to obey God. We need to worship God. But listen, you got to have your heart right. And if your heart is right, you're not helping out anybody. And God's not pleased with you if your heart is not right. I don't care if you worked at this church 24 hours a day. God's not going to be pleased with you if your heart is not right with him. He wants your heart right. And then he wants you to serve him with the right heart. And so that's what he wants. Now, Jesus said this in Matthew 15:8. He said, this people draw nigh to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now, that's true when it comes to people acting like Christians who aren't Christians. Certainly that applies. But may I tell you, there are some Christians today who are worshiping God in voice and maybe come in and they sing songs in church, but their heart's not right. The heart is far from the Lord. There are people today that are preaching in pulpits, serving in churches, attempting to serve and please God with their lives, but their heart isn't right. And when your heart's not right with God, there is no power. When your heart's not right with God, there is no answer to prayer. When a preacher attempts to preach when he's not right with God, there's no power in that preaching. He's just up here saying words. When people try to serve God and their heart's not right, there's no power of God helping them out in their service. They're doing it on their own power. When believers attempt to pray for others and their hearts aren't right, and your heart's not right and you're praying for others, God doesn't hear those prayers. If you refuse to get right with God, He's not going to listen to your prayers. Hey, folks, listen. You know, there are people that's counting on us to be right with God. Let me ask you something, honestly. Don't you count on me being right with God before I get behind this pulpit? I mean, you want me to be right with God. You don't want a person that's out of fellowship with God preaching to you. Because number one, there's not going to be any power. It isn't going to be like the Lord's words going to be reaching your heart. It's going to be my words, and nobody's getting help here at all. You want me to be right, but I want you to be right too. Listen, a person who's listening to the message has to be right too. And if they aren't right, when they hear the message, they should get right. And a person that's serving in the church, whether they're teaching Sunday school or teaching these kids or whatever they're doing, you need to be right with God. That's the reason I'm going to encourage you that you need to make sure you're right with God all the time. Every day, wake up and say, Lord, show me if there's a sin that I haven't confessed. Lord, show me if there's any wicked way in me. And Lord, that way I can confess it and I can get right before you. That's the way we're supposed to be. And especially before you do something, before you come and serve, you got to be right, or otherwise you've gone the way of Cain. You're thinking like Cain. Every day we need to make sure our heart is right. For the believer, the way of Cain can be attempting to serve God when your heart is not right. Not only that, but for the believer, the way of Cain can also be doing things your way rather than doing things God's way. It is the worshiping of God and serving God on your terms that is the way of Cain. You know, God had required a blood animal sacrifice. Abel knew that and did God's way. And he sacrificed a lamb, but not Cain. I believe that Cain actually knew that God required what God required before he ever offered the fruit of the ground. I believe he did. But he wanted to do it his way. I tell you this, he certainly knew after he saw that God accepted Abel's sacrifice. I mean, he knew it for sure then. But I think he knew it before that. But he refused to do things God's way. He chose instead to do things Cain's way. Now, the Bible is clear that when we worship the Lord, that Bible says we are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. How many of you know that the Bible says we are to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth? But you know what I see today amongst Christianity? I see a lot of Christians who are worshiping the Lord not in the spirit but in the flesh. You say, what in the world are you talking about, Pastor? I was watching something here the other day, and I don't know if I was on the computer or what, and I saw Christian music, so I flipped on it, and honestly, had they not told me it was Christian music, I'd never known. I mean, there were people out there that were jumping up and down, and they were like dancing and all these things, and the lights were all flickering. It was like a rock and roll concert. It wasn't. It was a church. There's nothing spiritual about that. That's flesh. A lot of times people, they don't worship God in spirit. They worship Him in flesh. But we're supposed to worship Him in spirit. We're all supposed to worship Him in truth. What is truth? The Lord said, Thy word is truth. We are supposed to worship the Lord according to the way the Bible tells us to worship the Lord. We are to serve the Lord the way the Bible tells us to serve the Lord. We don't get to choose ourselves how we're going to serve God. He's the one who has written this book. He's the one that's told us this is how I will be worshiped. And we don't get to say, well, now that's what God wants. But, you know, that doesn't suit me. That's just too old-fashioned for me. Let's do it my way. And a lot of Christians are doing that today. Listen, as Christians, the Lord is the King. Amen? We are the servant. The servant does not get to tell the king, listen, king, you're going to eat on my terms. You'll eat when I tell you to. And you'll get something to drink when I tell you to. No, that's not how it works. The king says, servant, here's what I want. And that servant is bound to do it. And when it comes to worshiping the Lord and serving the Lord, you must do it according to truth. Not according to what you think, how you think it should be done, or what you want, how you want it to be done. It's got to be according to truth. But sometimes Christians go the way of Cain, and they start doing things their way rather than God's way. I'll give you an example. I heard a person say here not too long ago, he said, you know, I can worship God just as well from my fishing boat as I can right there in that church. I don't need to come to church. Ain't that up? Man, come on. For starters, he doesn't worship God on that fishing boat. He's lying if he says he does. And for him to say that, you know what he's trying to say? He's saying, I don't need to do things God's way. I can do things my way. That's what he's saying. That's the way of Cain. That's the way of Cain. So for the believer, the way of Cain can be attempting to serve God when your heart isn't right. For the believer, the way of Cain can be doing things your way rather than doing God's way. And then finally, for the believer, the way of Cain can be refusing to confess your sins to the Lord. And I mean refusing to confess your sins. Turn back, if you would, to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And here in Genesis chapter 4, it's just amazing to me just how graceful God is towards Cain, and really, to tell you the truth, how graceful he is towards all of us. Genesis chapter 4, look if you would, look at verse 9. The Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? Now again, God is not seeking information. He already knows that Abel's dead at this point. You know what he's seeking? A confession. You know what he's wanting Cain to do? He wants Cain to say, Lord, I killed him, Lord. I'm sorry. I did it. I'm wrong. Amen? That's what he wants. He's not asking there to find out where Cain is. Like Cain's missing. The Lord's been looking all day for him, can't find him. And he says, okay, where's Cain? No, he knows that Cain is already dead. The blood of Cain is already crying out from the ground to God. He already knows he's dead. And he says, Cain, where's Abel thy brother? And then notice what Cain says, you know, the one who's so right with God. He says, I know not. He just lied to God, and God knows it. That's him, basically him saying, you know, I'm not going to confess anything. I'm pleading the fifth. I don't know. And then he says, am I my brother's keeper? Now, listen, again, God wanted him to confess what he did, but he said, I know not. Then he smarts off saying, am I my brother's keeper? Now, that shows you, again, that Cain's heart is not right. It also shows you that Cain really doesn't have much of a fear of God either to say something like that. But then notice in verse 10, it goes on to say, and he said, what hast thou done? There he's asking another question. Question, did he already know what he did? He's still wanting that confession. Now think about the grace that God just gave him. He said, Cain, where's your brother? And Cain goes, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Now if it were, you know, if somebody spoke to us like that, we'd probably get kind of angry, wouldn't we? But you know what God does? He still extends grace to him. He comes back and says the second time, he goes, what hast thou done? He's looking for him to tell him what he did. He's looking for confession. And then he says this, the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. You know what God just said? He said, listen, tell me what you did. I already know what you did. I want you to tell me what you did. He just now told him that Cain's blood is crying to him from the ground. And so he gives Cain another chance to come clean and confess his sin before the Lord. Truly, if you think about it, all he had to do is confess it. That's all anybody has to do is confess their sins. But I will tell you that the story of Cain and Abel is one of the saddest stories in the Bible. And we're seeing sad stories like this today. Every time someone, certainly whenever somebody is not saved and they refuse the grace that's offered to God, we certainly see that, and that's sad. But you know, it's also a sad story when God extends us grace after grace after grace, and we still hang on to those sins and we won't confess them. You know, like, you know that you're not right, but you come to church and you hear the preaching. And when you hear the preaching, the Lord is convicting you and is working you over. And the Lord's saying, you ready to confess that sin to it? What did you do? What did you do? And you say, I know not. I didn't do anything. And he extends that grace to you. And then you get up and you walk out this door and you still aren't right with God, even though the Lord was very graceful to you. He allowed you to come to church. He allowed you to hear preaching. He's very graceful to you. And then you walk out that door, still not right with God. Then you go that night and you say, I think I'll read my Bible a little bit. And you open up that Bible and all of a sudden there that is again, saying you're not right. You're not confessing here. He offers you again. And again, just like he did with Cain. But then some Christians decide, you know what? I'm just going to keep on going the way of Cain. You were talking about a sad story. When you read about the story of Cain after he killed Abel, you're talking about something sad. I want you to think about this. Cain, after he did this and he would not confess the Lord, even though the Lord gave him a chance after chance after chance to confess it, notice what happened to Cain. First of all, he ended up having a barren life. The Bible says in Genesis 4, 11 and 12, it says, And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Cain's skill was being a farmer. And at one time he was able to reap things that he had planted in the ground. He was able to produce fruit. He had fruit. Yet God said, from henceforth the ground will not produce for you. He would never again enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Why? He wouldn't confess his sins. Not only that, but he would be a wanderer, moving from place to place. Cain would never know the security of a settled life and the settled life that he once had. And he would live all of his remaining days restless and wandering around, never knowing any measure of contentment, never knowing the joy that he once had, never having the peace that he once had. You know, Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah 57, 21, it says, There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And so he's going to be wandering around, and he's not where he was. He's not in a place of blessing. He's not getting the fruit from the ground anymore. All these things are gone, and he's lost it all. But perhaps even the worst part of it is, it's in verse 16, probably the saddest words that you'll ever read in the Bible. It says, And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Fellowship with God was broken. Now some may say that he eventually seemed to do well after he left. But he didn't. You say, well, yeah, but he built a city and he had children. Yeah, he did. He did. But God wasn't in any of that. And you know what the end of all that was? Destruction. Do you realize that not only did Cain lose his brother that he killed, not only was he out of the presence of God, not only was he no longer to enjoy the blessings of the Lord anymore, all because he wouldn't confess those sins, but in the long run, he lost all of his family. You do realize that all the descendants of Cain and himself all died in that flood. You think about that for a second. They all died. Not a one of them survived. My question to you tonight is this. Are you missing the joy that you once had? Do you have the peace that once you had? Let me ask you this. Did you used to get more blessings from the Lord than what you're getting right now? Does it seem like maybe the blessings have started to dry up a little bit? You know whether or not you're right with God tonight. You know whether or not when you come into this church, if you're right with God. Listen, we all want people to serve, but honestly, I don't care if you serve. I care about your heart being right because, listen, if your heart is right, you're going to serve the Lord. You're going to do the things that you do because you love God. I'm not interested tonight whether or not you serve or not. I'm interested whether your heart's right or not. And so is God. Your heart needs to be right, and you know whether it is or isn't. The same way Cain, when God asked those questions, where is Abel? Ask him again, what have you done? Cain had the answers to those things. Cain knew the answers. He just wouldn't confess it to the Lord. May I tell you tonight, if you don't have the peace that you once had, if you feel like you're just wandering around, if you don't have the contentment and you're not getting the blessings anymore, maybe you need to get right with God tonight. Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Let's stand.